Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Lefties Lounge podcast.
By the end of Saturday, it was we need to take out the young kid. We need to take out the lefties. Yeah.
Then I was like, you know what? Fuck. I would love to throw my club in the fucking water.
I can't even tell them that I have a podcast, which is terrible for the podcast brand, but I'm about to light these guys up.
Welcome, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Lefties Lounge podcast. I'm your host, Ron Newkirk, and normally I'd be introducing my co-host, but today it's a little different. He's more than a co-host. He's more than that shaggy-haired little boy on the first tee of Fairview. He was gritty, he was poised, and most of all, mentally tough through a grueling two-day tournament that we just embarked on. Today and forever, I'd like to introduce your 2020 Connecticut Masters champion, John Krafcik.
Wow. What an intro.
How are you, sir? It's good to see you. Is this your first presser since the big day?
This is my first live press conference. I've talked to a couple people offshore, but nothing live right now. Nothing live yet.
Oh, that's great. How's it feel? How's everything going? I mean, where have you taken? You didn't even take the green jacket, but where have you taken the trophy so far?
The trophy's made its way to the loft. It sits comfortably on the desk. No, it feels good. It's like starting to settle in now. I'm like thinking about doing this. But like you said, what a absolute grueling 2 days. I don't think it was anything what we expected. I mean, we thought Saturday was going to be a beautiful day, and we got a war. So awesome weekend, so much fun. Pumped to finally be able to play in it and obviously come out with a win. But happy to bring it home for the brand. Glad the pot. I would have been happy with one of the three of us bringing it home. So
usually after a loss like this, I hide as much as I can, and this is going to be a tough episode for me personally, because now I have to talk about it, and you being the champion as well. Like it's difficult for me. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like I said, I usually just don't talk to any of the guys for probably a week or two, and then I can start to maybe golf again. I'm not golfing this weekend. I'm taking a hiatus. There's a lot that went in that's going to go into this winter. A lot of thinking, a lot of thought process, and that's where I'm at right now. So I congratulate you, but I also want to say good luck, or you have it for 6 months or so, and in April, just enjoy it is what I'm trying to get at. Enjoy the time you have with that, because you're not going to have it come April. I'll let you know that right now.
I love it. Listen, this is it's a big growing moment for you. This is great. I'm normally on the receiving ends of some unhappy texts, but to now be in the tournament and see it and have you right here about to walk through the weekend, this is a big step here.
Yeah, it is a big step. So obviously we'll get right into it. We talked last episode about how you were feeling. Your game is in a good place. You were stroking it, feeling good. But right before, you did have a couple ailments. Your tooth was an issue, and there was something that went on. I mean, the media was not on top of anything. Nobody said anything, but walk us through what you were thinking, say, Thursday or Friday with a swollen-ass cheek.
Yeah, so it's funny because the role has been reversed. It's normally you, before a big tournament, comes up with some crazy injury, falls down a stair, cuts your finger. And yeah. I woke up, like, I think it was like Tuesday last week, and my wisdom tooth just starts exploding coming into my fucking mouth. Which was just an absolute nightmare. So I'm like, it's swollen, you know, I'm taking like, it's literally like my cheek was like puffed up. So I'm freaking out, like, cause you know, obviously wisdom teeth, it's like, you never know when they're going to really have to be pulled. So I'm thinking in my head, like, am I not going to be able to play in this tournament if I have to get this tooth pulled? Like, I'm bugging out. I go to the range Thursday, have this absolutely euphoric range session. And I'm like, the third or fourth to last swing, I like come down steep and I just do something to my shoulder and I'm like freaking out. So going into mindset wise, I was all over the place going into it this weekend, but physically we held up. So it wasn't easy.
Yeah. I can't see it being easy. And then you come Friday night and Saturday, like it started raining Friday night, really like a mist, and it kind of rained Friday. And then Saturday, I don't know about you, but I was planning on a beautiful Saturday with high of 70 and just the sun shining and making birdies and just playing so well. And we did not get that at all.
Dude, I literally took every rain thing out of my bag because I thought we were playing in like 68 and sunny. I was so hyped for the weather to get Fairview at like a beautiful fall day. Like, and it couldn't be anything. It couldn't have been worse, essentially. Like, well, we show up there, talk about gloomy. We show up there and Ranger Rick is just ripping around the freaking parking lot. And he comes right over to the truck. And he tells us the entire building's closed. Everything's closed because an employee tested positive for fucking COVID. And so, like, we're all just like, okay, what's going on? Not even the fact that it's wet everywhere. It's, like, mist. Yeah. It's misting out. And I wasn't even thinking. It still hadn't even gone through my head, like, oh, we're about to tee off in the rain. Like, yeah. It's crazy.
At some points, it did rain, too, so it sucked.
It was terrible.
Yeah, that kind of just set the mood. Go over to the range. It just didn't get better, but we did. I mean, my round Saturday was way better than Sunday. I played well. It didn't seem like you guys were talking a lot about the wind and all that stuff during the course. I didn't see. I felt like I was in the zone, so I didn't really feel too much wind on certain holes and stuff like that. But it was definitely grueling though. Like, not what we had thought.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, and you know me. I have chronic, I don't even know what you would call it. I have chronic wet hand syndrome. No, not wet hand syndrome. I have a problem with grips, with keeping my grips and, glove or anything that I'm using hands-wise dry. And I was a mental case.
Penguin hands or something like that.
Penguin.
Once they get wet.
Walrus flippers.
Yeah, something
terrible. I the first five holes, all I was thinking about was don't lose the club. I chunked a 3-wood off the first tee as the inaugural tee shot, and I wasn't even thinking about swinging. I was thinking about holding on to the club.
Yeah, which is tough. Our group, we had a great group, and we'll take you through it. So our foursome was awesome. We had Hammy, Brett. I was with Brett. Thought it was going to be a real battle on Fairview between me and him, but he had a real rough front nine. Hammy and Frankie both played decent. Frankie had a couple bad holes. It was the first time playing with Frankie, so he was a surprise on how well he played. Just a couple, not so much a surprise, but I just never played with him, and he's in a group of with seven other guys that he doesn't know. So for him to come out and play like that, he did really well. But yeah, Brett had a pretty bad front nine and just couldn't really come back from that. I played well. And then your group, you were actually paired with Dave, the guy that you battled on Sunday. Did you think playing with him on Saturday, he would be the guy that you were going to be battling coming down to 18?
I didn't, to be honest. It was an interesting round Saturday for sure. The highlight was Shaw. It was actually kind of crazy. So we started off, Mark put a crooked number up early, I think like a 10 or 11 on the third hole. And so he was off in the woods on the phone with his wife. He was dealing with his own thing.
Just to be clear, it was an 11.
It was an 11. Okay. Yeah. I think it was the high number for the weekend.
It was. That's the only reason I know it.
in the beginning, like the first four or five holes, you know, like everybody's nervous, kind of like settling in. It's wet, you know, we were kind of like finding our footing, and then we settle in, and all of a sudden I look over and Shaw's just like playing lights out. So I was like, holy shit. Like, and it almost turned to like, I was like, I kind of got to keep up with him because he was playing so well.
Yeah.
And it just something I didn't expect, in the sense I probably should have expected it more, because he took 4 weeks off. And
well, that was one of my bold takes too, is that he would come out and break 85. He shot an 88, I believe, so it was very close. But it sounds like he played even better than an 88.
Oh, he played so much better. He limped in 16, 17, 18. But nah. he was playing so well. And I, at one point, like on the back turn, so at the front, we'll talk about it too, but we had I was playing all right back and forth, finally started to like settle in. And then on the ninth hole, I hit a decent tee ball, which I thought was, it was like just off the fairway on the left. Like in the open, we lose the ball, of course, can't find it. I have to drop, like I'm in my head. I hit a shitty, I thin one off the drop, chip up, two putt, make double or triple. So instead of shooting 39 on the front or 40 on the front, and I just made birdie par, instead of shooting 39 or 40, I shoot like 42 or 43 coming off a double. I'm like reeling. And I have to, that's the thing, is I wasn't really playing that. I wasn't hitting the ball that well, as far as like spots, but I was the first four holes on the back nine, I got up and down for par. So it was like, it was more just like, I was just staying in it. And honestly, I was like trying to keep up with Shaw.
You're grinding.
Yeah. I was just, it was an absolute war. But Dave was just doing his thing, you know, like, he would have a really good hole and then he'd have a bad hole, and he'd have a really good hole and then he would have a bad hole. But I didn't think, and especially first off, one of the hardest things was not knowing where anybody's at, like adds such intrigue to that tournament. Cause we had no idea. Like, I know how my group's playing, but I have no idea how you guys are playing. And we're like,
yeah. And neither group told each other at nine. Nothing. Either. Like, you guys weren't going to be the first to text.
Yeah.
We sure as hell weren't going to be the first to text. So
I'm looking on Instagram to see if you posted an update.
I was doing the same thing. I'm like, oh, maybe they put an update, and nothing. I'm just like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
So at first I thought it was just going to totally suck, but like, it was like that intrigue, like you said, was kind of cool to have. Like,
yeah,
Sunday I would have liked to known a little bit more, but Saturday it's kind of like cool to have that suspense when you pull up to the green or to see what everybody had. So luckily for us, Shaw had to work Saturday night, so he came in. I was in the lead by two on you and Shaw.
Yep, we were tied.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. And Dave rounded out the top four. So it was me, you, Shaw, and Dave in the final pairing. Like I said, I was feeling very good. I was playing good Saturday. And we can get into my demise on Sunday, but
we got to tell the story about Saturday.
I was going to say part of the downfall of Ron Newkirk this weekend was a very poor choice on my part. It's not the first time that it happened during the round. And I happened to play the wrong ball, and I finished out a hole with the wrong ball. our rules official, I was playing with the rules official, and he informed me, just as I'm teeing my ball up, that it is a possible disqualification. So to say that my head was elsewhere for 17 and 18, because this happened on 16, I drained a pretty good, like maybe a 12 footer from the fringe, for par, for what I thought was par. So we get up there, everybody decides that, the DQ is a little harsh for a tournament.
Hey, wait, no. So let me cut in here. Cause so we, my group's the first group off, your group is following us up. So we just get finished playing 18, and we now, like when we talk about intrigue, like we have no idea what's happening with your group, like no idea. So,
Right. You
know, we're fired up, like day one, just finished. I just made birdie. Like we were like fired up to watch you guys come in.
Yeah.
And you got you're down in, it's a par five. You guys are down, I think, like looking for a ball over
Frankie's.
Near, like, yeah, was it Frankie's ball? And so, you know, so we're waiting, we're talking, you know, where are they at? Where do we think they at? We're trying to like think back. We saw Frankie hit a couple OB on 11. We're like trying to think of who's playing well based on the little golf we've seen. So you guys get up, you guys approach the green, and it's just silent. Like, it is crickets. I was like, wow, like, and this is – what's that?
No, and mind you, I had just piped a drive, piped a hybrid to up close.
The front of the green, yeah.
To the front of the green, which I don't ever do that. You could say the adrenaline was pumping. I chip up, hit a long putt for a comfy par, and I go – I was so happy with the way I finished because – I ended up doubling 17 on some bullshit. But the way I handled it after, it could have been triple. So anyways,
So I'm filming you. So I'm like, oh, I better get like, you know, I want to shoot them all on this, on 18. We saw your approach shot, which was a bomb. So like somebody hit one up to here. We didn't know who it was. So now we're like, you know, we're dialed in, and Hammy starts walking up the right side of the green. And for those of you who know Fairview, 18 is just this massive double green. So we're like, we're on the front right of the green, and the pin's on like the third tier in the back, like left corner of the green. So a little farther away from us, but we're keeping our distance. And we're just looking at Hammy, and somebody like says like, hey, like, you know, doing all right? Like, what's going on? And he looks at us and just goes, there's a conversation that has to be had. And we all look at each other like, what the hell is going on? Like, what could have happened? And then, you know, it's obviously like something so ridiculous as like that. I mean, we obviously were never going to like DQ you or anything like that. But
the thing that kills me is that Hammy does take his job very seriously as the rules official. And there, I think if it was, I don't know. I swear that he thinks that I should have been DQ'd no matter what. Like,
he thinks it's a USGA event.
He finished in seventh, and he will forever go down in sixth place as the 2020 Masters the 2020 sixth place guy.
That's hilarious.
But it wasn't
the only stroke that was awarded after. Like, I got stroked because we didn't have like a set in stone like leaf rule. And it happened in your group, and one of your, and I think it was Brett or something, hit somebody that hit a ball that they thought was in play, and same thing happened. So I ended up taking a stroke. You took two for the wrong ball, and I took one for the leaf ball. And
yeah,
I think maybe somebody else did too, but it ended up working out. It wasn't like, I mean, whatever happened Sunday, it was going to happen. Like, it wasn't, I didn't think it was too big of a thing.
Exactly. So we moving on to Sunday. There was a couple guys in the second group that could have made a run. I feel like Hammy and Frankie were a little out of reach, but Mark and Brett were kind of, I think they had 80s.
Yeah.
Net. Yeah. So that was, if we had blown up, anybody could have flopped. Like, I'm not saying Frankie.
100%.
But they needed a lot more to happen than Mark and Brett did.
Yes.
So I wasn't too worried about that group. So I was pretty much dialed in on just beating you is what I went into. I was like, if I can beat you gross, I'm going to win. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So we'll just go over what I was thinking.
Let's do this. Let me start real quick. So we meet, we're teeing off at like 9 a.m. We all meet at Valley Golf driving range to hit balls in the morning. And I don't know if you obviously saw this, but you saw me hosel rocket like 4 or 5 irons.
Honestly, I didn't.
You said something when I did the first one. I don't even know if
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You said something. So
I might have just been like sick. I saw you hit a bad shot, but I didn't see that many.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When you did one, I remember just being like, sick.
I went a little dark there to start. It was bad.
It was serious on that range though, because Shaw was over by himself. Like, nobody was really talking. I had like, it was, you could feel the tension.
100%.
Going into this. So me thinking this whole thing, like, I'm just like, I think Dave is going to shoot like normal. I don't know if he's going to have it, because usually Candlewood is his kryptonite. On some holes, obviously the bridge is his thing. So I said, if I could beat you gross, that I was going to win.
Yeah.
Kept with you pretty much the whole time, but there was,
well, hold on. So let's preface it by the tournament. So you guys obviously play in a Sunday league. The course was set up for a 3-club Monty. And what that essentially means is that they decided to turn the, they decided to change up a bunch of the different tee boxes.
Yeah, because people are only choosing 3 clubs and going through the whole thing. So tee boxes were closer than normal. Pins were in diabolical places.
Crazy places.
You missed that freaking 6-inch putt with the banana hook. The pins were crazy. There were so many missed putts. I probably 3-putt, probably 8 times. Unbelievable. It was cool though. What did you think about that? I totally thought about that. I thought it was like,
I loved it. It was awesome because it was different. Like you guys all play Candlewood every weekend, and I've never, like, I don't know how many times you played the tees where they were on 13. Never.
Only in the red, white, blue. Yeah.
A couple of those pins were absolutely ridiculous. And so it felt like, it actually made me feel better. It felt like a real tournament. Like it felt like a Sunday.
It felt like a major tournament. In the final pairing.
and I know you're going to hate to hear this, but the way that you hit the ball Sunday morning was like terrifying.
The range?
No, the front nine. If you made putts, you would have easily shot under par on the front. The back. You were swinging so well, and
I three putt like 4 or 5 times in the front. I couldn't make a putt, and it was pissing me off because the day before I had lag putted. I could have hit 2 putts from anywhere on the green. And I didn't think that the greens were overly fast or anything, but they were different. And I just, after like the third one, it started to get in my head. And I honestly, it was a mental lapse after this. I think I'm almost ready to tell the story.
Oh. But let me say too that was something that I definitely realized very early on, putting wise, was you. Like the sole focus had to be leaving the ball below the hole because
every time.
And it wasn't the fact that the greens were super fast. It was the fact of like where the pins were and the pins, like Shaw probably had like 7 to 10 downhill 2 to 4 footers that were like, you touch them, you have to hit the center of the cup. And that's what it was. It was like, it was almost like putting was just as strategic as like playing like any other shot. And that was what was so fun about it. Obviously not, you know, it was hard. Like it was still hard to make putts, but
So we teed off the back.
So real quick,
Dave starts making a charge. Remember that?
No. So we finish 9, you're up 1. Did we go into Sunday? Were you up 1 or were you up 3? You might have been up 3.
I was up 2 on you. I shot 73 and you were a 75 net.
Okay, so net, I shot even on the front 9 and you shot 1 over. So it's neck and neck.
It was 1 stroke. And Dave was in there too, because remember, he had that nasty stretch of like 4 holes where he was 6 under net.
Oh, he went crazy. And then on the back.
And then the mental game started going and – but then he came, we'll get into that. He came back. So 9 holes, I'm starting, you gained a stroke on me net. And the turning point in my, and I hate to admit this. And I, this is part of the process of talking through this and having a podcast and having to deal with this bullshit. When you said there's no par 5s, watch out or something like that. Like, I started thinking, I'm like, oh shit. Like, first off, you said that I'm not getting any strokes on you on the front 9.
I made sure to say that.
And that there's 2 par 5s. Those two things, I was just like, well, he birdies 80% of par 5s now. He's big time. this is going to be a grind. I'm on edge.
I birdied two par fives the day before.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. And par five, I mean, you hit that five wood so well and your three wood so well. So I was on edge from then on.
Really?
It started to kick in. I played well on 1, 2, 3, 4. I was grinding, still putting like crap. And we get to the fifth hole,
we're just straight, just trading blows, not blows. Yeah. Nobody's taking over the tournament.
I was still one up you had taken the lead. You were one up when we got onto hole five, which is
I parred four. That's right. Yep.
14.
Yeah. So what would be five? Yeah. Four or 14. Yes. Sorry.
So the fifth hole, let's paint a picture here. The usual tees are back a little bit farther. These ones were way up. It required an iron play for a safe shot, right?
So I had the box.
You had the box. You hit your.
I hit a smooth six iron. I turned around and I said, "Safe as a bird, baby."
Safe as a bird. A six iron, safe as a bird. I believe Dave did the same. Safe as a bird. Shaw did the same. So I decided that I was going to make a move, and I said, "I'm down one. I need to do something." And it was a calculated move. Where the landing zone for a said driver would be was bigger than a soft little six iron. So I go up there and I say, "I'm either going to win or lose."
No, you have to tell the full story. You look at the cameraman.
I look at the cameraman and I say, "I'm going to fucking do it."
I'm pulling driver.
So then after a little relapse, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do it. I see you both hit it and I'm like, I'm doing it. So I go up there. All of a sudden, you could fucking feel the tension. You could cut it with a knife. Everyone is so quiet. I go up there and I hit one of the farthest drives I have all year. A little baby cut, which I haven't hit in years.
It was disgusting.
Over the trees. And it was a beautiful, beautiful shot. So I'm just like, let's go. We can do this. You fan one off just a little left of the green, right?
Yep.
So I'm like, I got like 60 yards in, probably not even 65 yards, maybe 55, whatever. I'm like, all I got to do is just hit this to the center of the green and I'm going to get my stroke back. This is what I was worried about. I end up chunking it and I just barely get to the cart path. I walk up a little frustrated. I was like, okay, now you got to get up and down, smart ass. Like, you got to grind. I chunk it again. So now it's the pressure is just building. I'm just like a freaking teapot right now and I'm ready to blow. I get up again and I chunk it again. Three in a row, I end up double bogeying. And after that point, I was done. I was only down by three strokes maybe at that point.
It was three.
And yeah. And with four holes to play.
Four to play, yep.
Could have made a charge, but I get up to the next tee box and I hit a worm burner off the ladies' tee trash can, 90 degree into the shit, and none of you guys could even muster up laughing, saying anything, nothing. We get in the cart, we drive up.
This is amazing because you're so far in your head. I'm so glad that you just said that because you then must not even remember. I look at all the guys like 5 seconds after it happens, it's dead quiet. And I go, "Yo, that was trash." And dude, you definitely didn't even hear it. Like, and no, I literally look around. I'm like, "I'm sorry, guys." Like right after I said it, I was like, I had to say it. Like somebody had to say it.
It was trash. But we get up to it. I end up yelling at you. I'm like, "Dude, you can't even park the car closer to the fucking ball." Like I was pissed.
Okay. One of the best things that happened and potentially one of the worst was the fact that like we were paired together. Cause for me, it couldn't have been like more comfortable, but like it at that point too, it was so awkward because like it was the point where I shouldn't even have opened my mind or said something, but I was like, I felt like like, it was almost like we were like being teammates. Like I said something to you, like I was like trying to like pick you up. Like you got to, like you got to get going.
We're so used to like picking each other up, and like I think it would have been more awkward if you didn't say anything, but I was just like, I was just like, dude, don't fucking talk to me. Like,
I know.
Just go.
And then I was like,
but I just needed that one hole though, because after that hole, I was just like, you know what? I'm out of it. Let's start commentating. Because I was rooting for you. If anybody else wasn't going to win this.
Yeah. No, you for as much as the wheels fell off there, like it, you were in your own little world, but it wasn't bad.
After that point, I literally just like, when you guys weren't ready, I was playing ready golf. I went up, hit my shot, did my thing, got out of your way is basically what I was doing.
Yeah.
Sucked to happen. I'm very disappointed in the mental game that on those last five holes. I can't believe that I checked out the way I did. And it's something to work on during the winter. We're going to get real deep. I know that for sure.
Yeah, so, no, for sure. And just to touch on that a little bit, there were a couple points that so we haven't talked about this yet, but I've had a complete like 360 degree change on my entire swing thought process, like everything. I have sworn to a new religion, a new cult, the Adam way, the Adam Long way. You're not familiar with it yet, but you will be familiar with it. And we're going to have plenty of discussions on this podcast about it. But it was cool to, as I was like thinking about the round, it was crazy how much the member guest, how much I resorted back to like feelings and thoughts when it came to like the predicament, like the different situations that I was in. I don't even know if you remember this, but after when we went over the bridge, I literally like said to you, I was like, dude, I think I might have the shanks. Like I, my swing is gone. Like I can't, if you're hitting the ball like this, I was like, I can't keep up. Like I can't do this. I was putting pretty well. I was like scrambling my face off. And like, right as I said that out loud to you, I was thinking in my head to when I felt like I lost my swing on Sunday of the member guests. And I was like, all right, what did I do to like get it back? Like I need to like go back to like the basics and everything. And then I really just started thinking about like, all right, you're trying to do too much. Take a three-quarter swing and just like slow way down. And we come out of the trees and we get up to 7 or 16.
16, yeah.
And I hit the best tee shot I hit all day. I hit a bomb right down the middle. And I felt like I swung at 60%. And I was like, oh, like, hold on. Like I can find this again. Like I can find this. And it wasn't like I found it, but I found the club face. Like it wasn't like I still was spraying off the tee. I didn't hit the ball particularly well, but within 150 yards, I felt amazing. And it was like, I started like, and we'll get into it when we get into the four big dog shootout holes, but I started to like, kind of like, I don't know, like call on those memories. And we talk about playing in the Candlewood member guests and how much like the first year we learned something, and then year two, we learned something, and year three, we learned something. And then to like, almost feel like we put it together this year. And then to have that to like draw back on this, like mentally where I was at was like, it felt big after the fact, but I was like, wow, I kind of just did that, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, no, I hear you. You even said it when we got to 6. You were just like, we've been here before. This is, I wish I was in a better place mentally.
I was fired up.
Because you actually ended, so during my whole demise, Dave's in the back here just scurrying up right next to you.
He's making 4 for 2s, 5 for 3s, and just I'm looking at the bottom of his scorecard and he's 1 under, 2 under net, 3 under net, 5 under net. I was like, oh shit.
The start of it too was on the 6th hole there. He ended up birdieing that thing.
He made birdie. So let's get into it. So the race felt like for the majority of the day until the 14th hole, like it was me and you. It was like we felt like we were playing each other. He makes that birdie. I think I made par or bogey. I forget what it was, but I think at that moment he was down 2 or down 1.
No. He was up. He was up going on into the 7th hole or the what would be 16, the 16th hole, the 7th actual hole.
Yes.
You end up doing the exact same thing that you did at CMG.
Dude.
And you hit a poopy little five wood that scurries next to that bridge and then pin one even closer than the CMG. Nasty.
When I tell you it was the same exact, like same exact same five exact. Wood, same exact swing. It landed in a freaking 4 foot circle in the same exact spot it landed in. Yeah. And I remember because way easier putt. I lost my yardage thing and I didn't want to look at you and be like, yo, what's the yardage? Cause you were doing your own thing. And yeah. I literally like thought about it. I looked at the spot. I looked at where the pin was. I was like, yo, that looks like this almost the same exact pin as the member guest. I'm going to hit a nice, easy 9-iron and I'm just going to finish at the flag. And I stick it to freaking a foot, 2 feet.
Yeah.
And I
fast forward to that. Eighth hole was nothing. Ninth hole, you and Dave.
No,
because you're tied.
No, so I missed the birdie putt, which would have been 3 for 2. Dave hits one up. He hits a good drive, hits one up to the base of the green, and I had just stuck one. So he knew he kind of had to get up and down, and he chunked the chip, which was massive because I ended up missing that birdie putt, which is – I just sent it in to Zyre Golf. I hope they pick it up. It was the it was the meanest birdie putt. I'm going to post it again tomorrow, maybe. It was the meanest birdie putt of all time. So I end up only making 4 for 3, and we go into the next hole, and I got one there, I think.
Oh, that's right. Dude, I thought that you caught it up. I thought you caught up.
No.
Like, I forgot. Missed that birdie putt.
Yeah, I missed that birdie putt. So yeah. then we go to 8. Dave
went 5 for 4.
Dave piped one.
Right.
Pipes one.
And you were off in the tree.
And I fan one to the left in the tree, and I have no shot. I know I have to punch out. I punch one out, hit a pretty good punch shot to about like 40 yards right in front of like where the end of the fairway runs into the green. And the pin is tucked on like a right ridge. And so I got to get up and down to make 4. He was to the right. I actually wasn't paying too much attention to like what he was doing. I don't even know where he was at that time because I knew I had to hit a good shot. Because, I mean, any blow up or like anything, he's getting – I think – no, he was only getting one stroke on that hole. And I hit I hit a 60 degree to about 5 inches.
Right. And he was 5 for 4 and you went
hard. I made four, which was huge. So we go tied going into 18 or going into 9.
Playing straight up too.
Playing straight up. No stroke, I will say this, the biggest thing that I learned from this whole weekend is I made some of the dumbest club selection choices still. Like I was hitting that driver like shit. I should have hit a 3. If I was playing you, I guarantee you I would have hit a 3-wood and I wouldn't have hit a driver. Right. But I was like, I was too comfortable. I don't know why. I was just like super comfortable. Like I just hit a 9-iron to like 2 feet. I just hit a wedge to tap in. I was feeling good. Yeah. But where my swing was with like my longer clubs, I should have hit 3-wood. Put myself in another shit position behind a tree. He hits one. He hit about like 190 to the green, I think. He didn't.
Yeah, he hit one so fucking high.
Straight up in the air. We had a bunch of moon shots.
Straight up. I think chunked the next one, and we kind of knew that if you just chipped out, got up, and maybe made a bogey, was probably going to win. So I talked you into chipping out. You were looking to go over the tree like a true champion.
I was so ready to go over that tree.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude. And I said to you, I was like, depending on what Dave does is your decision. I was like, if he pins one, then you're forced to go at it.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, you just go take your medicine, get up and down from there.
That's it.
You end up going, you listen to me. You go in front of the green, and then I'm standing with the guys, and we see a little nerves from Mr. Krafik I've never really seen before. And you chunked a pretty easy chip.
I did,
you
dude.
You had the whole green to work with. The pin was, like, back left. You had the whole green to work with. And as you're coming down, it was almost like you knew you were going to chip, and you're just like, oh, shit.
No, dude. Chunked.
Now everything starts puckering up a little bit for everybody. And we're like, okay, we might have our first playoff hole.
Well, it was, and I didn't, it's funny because the nerves definitely like started to settle in on that chip, but I really wasn't even that nervous on the first one that I chunked. It was the situation where, and I actually went back and looked at the video of it. The area of where like the ball was all just down wet leaves. There was no there was no grass growing underneath it. And it was like soft dirt. And you know you know how like with a 60 degree off like soft dirt, like you have to catch it. Like you got to hit it. You have to clip it. You got to essentially like clip pick it. And I had just probably nerves, but I had the biggest fucking brain fart of all time. And I swung at that thing, dude, at like 30%. It was the worst shot. I looked at it again. I was like, oh my God.
It was horrible. I
will say that right after that, based on the situation, like I knew like, okay, if I get up and down here, I'm going to win. Yeah. It helped me, as like bad as it seems, like it did help me like focus and being like, and I was just like, okay, I know what's under the, I know what the ball's sitting on now. Just clip it. Just like, just go at it. But it was bad. That was bad.
So needless to say, congratulations to you. Congratulations to Dave on a second place victory. He played really well down the stretch, and you can't take that away from him. It was really cool to see. I would like to give a little shout out to Norm. I think we have to.
Oh my God.
He was there to watch. There was like a little gallery in the back, which was cool. Not there for us, but they had played. But Norm had come down, and he's a listener of the podcast and a real legend at Candlewood and in New Melford and Washington sports in general. Knows a lot of people.
If you don't know who he's talking about, he's talking about Norm Cummings from the Spectrum Sports. I'm sure a lot of you listeners know who he is.
Yes. He is just a class act. He was there, and he ended up – we had a great time at the house too. He ended up coming over to the house and celebrating with us all. And just want to give him a shout out and almost as like a preview, because we are going to have him on the podcast, and we had some great conversations already, and everybody's in for a treat when we have him on there. But other than that, like, one more question for you is, was there really Masters pressure? How did that match up to what you thought it was going to be?
It was different. It's hard because I try to explain it, and I remember talking to you while we were playing, but like you can't like replicate like people that you don't know watching you, like the member guests, like having 30, 40 people there, not that you don't know, but like having not random people, but having people just watching you play golf is like a different feeling. So it wasn't that type of pressure. It wasn't the eyes pressure. It was the, like, to me, I couldn't believe how like nervous and serious I took it like from the start. Like the first 3-4 holes at Fairview, like I was like legitimately like not nervous. It wasn't affecting my game, but like, you know, you're just thinking about everything, and you're just like, you're almost like overthinking everything. It was real. The way that I explained it to somebody was asking me about it. It was like, you get 8 guys that always play golf, that always know like when somebody's playing golf, like, you know, you guys are all in the same league together. You guys see each other like almost every Sunday. You always know when somebody plays well. You always know like how somebody's playing. Like, it's a very interconnected group. And one weekend out of the year, we go play the same conditions, the same courses, the same tees, the same pins, at the same time against each other. And you just see like who has it that weekend, who has it the best that weekend. And obviously everything that goes into that with, you know, what you guys have created with the jacket and the trophy and the banter and the board, and we got a rules official. It definitely lived up to the hype for sure. It was so much fun. The only thing is that it makes playing normal golf not as fun to me now. Like I want to play competitive golf.
I know. That's the thing. Like, I think we all said it right after. We're just like, so what are we doing next weekend? Like,
right.
It was a lot of fun. I was very happy with the way things went. Sunday was great. Just sitting by the fire, just bullshitting, having a couple cocktails, coming in here and putting. Just everything that went down was awesome. Having the family here, and they did surprise us. We're sitting there and they surprise us with a podcast that the girls made. My wife, Shelby, and Hammy's wife, Carly, did a podcast, and we're actually going to get into that in a little while. If you don't have anything else left on the table for our masters, I'd say we might be able to get into it.
No, let's jump into the ladies' tea time. I can't wait.
Yeah, so this first episode of the ladies' tea time is brought to you, in fact, by a very friendly sponsor that we had that are now sponsoring them, B&B Golf. B&B Golf covers, they make electric putter and driver covers. You might have seen them this weekend. They have strong like Kong, swing oil, driver covers. I have the Put a Benjamin on it. I'm so clutch. You have them right over there, Hustle and Dough. They have absolutely amazing head covers. Go check them out. It's bnbgolf.com and follow them on Instagram at bnbgolfcovers. With the code lefty15, you can get 15% off your order. And we actually just did a giveaway with them. So a great partnership and glad to have them on the ladies' tee too. So without further ado, here are the wives.
Hi. All right. So this is ladies' tea time brought to you specially by
the Lefties Lounge. But they in no way know about this. Maybe they don't condone this, but
they'll enjoy it. Yes. They'll appreciate
yes.
it.
Yes.
So we thought it'd be fun on this special weekend where the boys have an absolute blast going out and playing the Masters tournament amongst themselves. Mm-hmm. We thought it'd be fun to record our own little podcast yeah. for them as a surprise.
Yeah, a little perspective of the other half during this Connecticut Masters weekend.
And I think it'll be much appreciated by all the wives and yes. girlfriends and spouses and partners of any golfer out there ever.
Agreed. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. So I'm Shelby Newkirk, and I am Ronnie Newkirk's wife.
Yes, the commissioner and the host.
Yes, of Lefty's Lounge.
Lefty's Lounge. And I'm Carly Hamilton. I am the wife of Brian Hamilton, Hammy, and the official rules guy, which is probably like the best and worst
job yes, for him. Absolutely. I think they all would agree.
Yes, I think so.
So let's just get right into what what we want to cover here.
Oh, geez.
So
the nitty gritty.
Yes. What would you say would be the top thing? Oh. That everyone can relate to.
So like the lies that golfers tell their wives.
Wait, hold on. Hold okay. on. Absolutely.
Yes.
The fact that they actually think that we believe golf takes 5.5 to 6 hours.
Right? Their first mistake was taking us golfing one time. Like one time. They thought it'd be like a fun date. Let's just bring our wives out. What a fun time. And then it's like 4 hours, 15 minutes in, and we're already done.
Like, and then you start thinking, you're like, wait a second. So when they go out at 7
right?
and say they're going to get done at 1 or 2, mm-hmm. just doesn't add up.
No, it's like, I'm not great at math, but I don't know. And then, like, their second mistake is telling us that they will be home by noon.
Yes, okay. Ronnie loves to do this. He gives me a specific time, and immediately I go, no. No, you're not getting back by then. Just don't even give me a time. I will count out 4.5 hours from your tee time. Yep. That's all I need to know. When is your tee time?
Yeah, just call, that's it. I will give you like maybe 4 hours, 15 minutes or 4 hours, 45 minutes. Okay, but like I know once we get to the 5 hour mark, you've made it to the 19th hole. Okay, you have made it. And you are, like, probably in, like, a sand trap. Like, you are not getting out of there.
So, first off, little break here in the action. I just want to say how awesome this was. Hearing this on Sunday night, it was everything that I wanted in the Masters tournament. Like, Norm was there. These girls were doing a podcast. And not only did they do the podcast, but they do it well.
Dude, they were awesome.
Yeah, so like, this is just a little snip, and we're going to be just giving our opinions on stuff. So they're not factoring in any of the pregame stuff so far. Rounds don't just take 4.5 hours.
I love how they know the timing of like what it says on like the back of the card. Like this round should take 4 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You're not factoring in pregame rituals like going to the range, getting a bacon, egg, and cheese, talking to the guys, paying for stuff. You got a pot. These are all things that they don't realize. That's the first thing. Okay. Let's move on.
I don't know if Ronnie does this, but Brian's like fatal flaw, and this goes to like not just golf, but it's mostly golf, is I'm leaving in a minute. I know when you say I'm leaving in a minute, I should add at least 30 minutes every time he says that.
I have to say, once you have kids, that might change. Because kids are a game changer. He's been super good about coming back right after golf.
Okay.
But that is where he'll add the extra hours of, oh, it was so slow out there.
I know. It's like, oh, I'm only on the 13th hole and we're already at hour 4. It's like,
Right.
Yeah.
Mind you, they've already finished 18.
Exactly.
What? You guys are cute.
They are cute. Does Ronnie come home and tell you all about his round?
Yes. And I appreciate it. I love hearing about it. Yeah. But he wants me to be as enthusiastic about it.
Uh-huh.
And I try my hardest. Yeah. But listen, the truth is, I love golf. I love to play golf. Mm-hmm. Do I love to watch it? Big tournaments? Absolutely.
Yes.
Super exciting. Tiger, my favorite.
Okay.
Love to watch him.
Yes.
But.
Well, that's not your favorite player, but we'll talk about that later.
We'll get there.
Yes.
So, I wish I could bring as much enthusiasm, and I try, but you have to appreciate the effort.
Yeah. No, it's true. Brian one time literally got mad at me because I did not ask him how his golf game went when he came home. So, they do get very excited. And when something exciting happens, it's great. Like, I've watched him in tournaments, and, like,
it's
exciting those last few holes. I never thought that I would watch golf before
I
was with Brian.
Actually, I can say the podcast that they mapped out, they played in a tournament at Candlewood and they mapped out the whole tournament.
Yes.
That
the
was
member
my
guest.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was my favorite one to listen to because I knew everything that happened.
Yeah.
And it like brought you through and actually made you excited.
Yes.
So if you could just keep doing that voice, then I will appreciate it.
All right. Sometimes rounds are really long, okay? You get in midsummer when everybody's out there playing, you could have a five and a half hour round. And we're not lying. We're not lying. Just because we take you guys out to Pomperog and it's a small course and it does take us like 3.5-4 hours to get done, that doesn't happen all the time, ladies. Hate to tell you guys, but sometimes it is going to take longer. And listen, all we think about during the week is playing golf on Sunday. So ask us about the round. Just go with it. If we had a good round, you're going to have an excellent Sunday afternoon. If we didn't play well, you're going to know it. But just have a heart and just be like, babe, it's going to be okay. You know how much better the Sunday afternoon is going to be? Don't tell us to go take the trash out. Let us take a nap if we played bad. Just have a heart.
And Shelby only has to go through it once a week. Julia's got to go through it like 3 times a week for me.
It's so true.
Which leads us into another topic of, listen, we don't mind that you guys play golf every week, right?
No.
It could be much worse. They could be doing much worse things. It's golf, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
So every week, okay. Mm-hmm. But you have to commit to getting things done.
I know.
So if you want to play golf, we got to come back and hustle out the honey-do list.
Oh, yes. I know. Like, Brian, if it's a Sunday, like, Sundays are just, like, a blackout zone in our, like, in our household. Because it's the, quote-unquote, 4.5 hours of golf. Plus, like, the extra whatever that you were still out on the back nine or whatever. But then it's the, he comes home. He's exhausted because he's been up. They have a tea time at like 7 a.m. So he's been up since like 5:36. And he just sits down and I know he's done.
Done.
He is done. I will not see him for like
Ronnie's favorite move is he tries to get a corner of the couch mm-hmm. and he'll dig his head into the couch yes. and want to watch a movie with Thomas.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. I That's see where we're going.
That's what we're doing. Like, can you have a family function on Sunday?
Okay.
Have you ever tried?
That is exactly what I wanted to bring up also.
Yes.
I could probably promise like 98% that they would choose golf on a Sunday or anything.
It's not even like a 98, 99%.
It's really 100%,
it's 100%.
Right? 100%. I know.
If I have a, like something on my family going on and I don't show up with Brian, they're like, oh, is he golfing? Yes. Like, it's not even a question. Yeah. Obviously, is it Sunday? And sometimes it's like a Saturday too. Like, yes, he's golfing. It's still nice out. It's not winter. He's not with me.
It's super true.
He's golfing. Yeah,
and,
I know.
And he'll show up in his golf, in his golf wear.
Yes. Exactly. Yep. Well,
so I can't even say, like, oh, that's true. He will show up. But I can't even say, oh, he was working. Like, no, he's coming straight from golf.
No, he's
We've
he's
just
golfing.
Accepted that.
So the honey-do list is no joke. Sometimes you got to do stuff after golf, which sucks. I try and do my best, but it's a grind out there. So when she was when Shelb's talking about that movie thing with Thomas, that is 1,000% true, and I can't take – I can't beat around the bush with that.
That's your move.
That's my move. I say, Thomas, you're going to go watch a movie. And we both cuddle up on the couch and he watches his movie. And I just take a little dad nap, I call him. I just put my head back and just watch a movie with him. So it is true, but you also got to respect the honey-do list, man. You got to get stuff done.
So you've been out golfing with Ronnie.
I have.
Do you enjoy it?
I love to golf too. Okay, this is the thing. I love golfing, right? Mm-hmm. I wish I started a long time ago because yes. I feel like I could be really good.
I thought I would be so good because the majority of it, you're sitting in a golf cart. Like, there's not, like, that much action. And, like, you just get to sit in the golf cart, have a few drinks. Like, I thought that it'd be, like, my jam.
I know. It's super hard. The one thing mm-hmm. that I wish is... If I could have any type of consistency,
yes.
any,
yes.
like even if I was just consistently bad, at least I would be yes. consistent and know what to expect.
Yes. I think part of the reason why I actually like going golfing is because I know I'm not good at it. So I think the better
no
you are, yeah, the better you are, I think the more frustrating the game is.
It's true though.
Yeah.
Because you could go out and have all intentions to mm-hmm. hit an amazing
yes.
round, but... It just doesn't happen sometimes.
No. Even
so I would enjoy it if I was more consistent.
Yes.
So I love to go golfing with him.
Mm-hmm.
However, I will say, 19 holes is a lot for me.
19.
19.
Yes.
That's Ronnie's numbers of golf.
Exactly.
18 holes.
Yes.
Is too much.
Yeah.
So, it's too much.
So what do you think is like the perfect, like, would you want to go out and do like a par nine or a par nine?
So
par
nine
three, like
is
nine
too little,
course.
I think. When yes. I hit nine, I'm like, oh, I could definitely play more.
Yeah.
I think... 12 would be the perfect number.
Like, that's when we should just, like, end it.
Yes. If they just did a 12-hole course,
yeah.
that would be perfect.
You're right.
Ladies.
No, I think you're right. Because at that point, we're, like, 2.5 hours, 3 hours into mm-hmm. it. And, like, yeah, I think by 9, I'm still like, oh, I have a few more. And then
right.
I'm like, oh, no. I don't think
done.
I can do another 6 holes.
Yeah. Right. I'm done. Like, I'm hungry.
Perfect. Yes.
I could do other things today.
Yeah. No.
I do enjoy it.
Yes, no, it is fun. I think I've hit par one time. And it was probably one of the most exciting things I've ever done.
It's
like,
so exciting.
Because, especially when you're not good, I think the more you play, so like the back nine, I think the reason I want to keep playing is because by the time I get to the ninth hole, I'm in like the swing of things.
Yeah.
And I feel like, oh, I can do this now. Like I have like I'm warmed up. And then I probably like will hit like one or two like good holes.
Right.
And then... I go downhill.
So I love using my driver. I
yeah.
think that's super fun.
Yes.
I think putting is my favorite.
I'm so bad at putting.
I love to putt. But anything in between all of the clubs,
yes.
I absolutely hate.
Yes.
Because of my inconsistency.
Between the tee box.
Yeah.
And the
everything in the fairway.
Yeah. No, that's so true. That's where I fall apart.
Then so, Ronnie will try to help me.
Oh,
he'll try to help me through this.
Yes.
And I try to listen. But like any spouse does, you get frustrated and you're like,
yeah.
oh, you try to listen, try to do it.
Yeah.
And then you just want to do what you want to do.
Yeah, I know. Brian's the worst at teaching. Like, the absolute, like, I don't even know what he's saying. Like, he's like the Charlie Brown teacher, I guess. And I think you're right. That's probably just like a spousal thing. But he has zero patience as a teacher. Like, none. Like, all he can tell me is like, keep your head down. I'm like, my head, it's down. Like, I don't, the ball's still like shinking to the left. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
You're right.
But I will tell you, the best round of golf I've ever played was with Brett.
Brett Thompson.
So yes.
This is a funny thing because we have a common thread here.
Okay.
So Ronnie will get pissed when we're all playing together with Brett,
mm-hmm.
who, shout out to Brett, love you to death. Yes. You're on the course right now.
Yes. He's part of the board, if you will.
Is he? Yes. Oh, very nice. Yes. He will give me advice and I will listen and I will do it and I will improve. And Ronnie will sit there and be so pissed and be like, I just told you the same exact thing, or I have always told you that.
I don't know.
All right. Enough with the Brett thing, okay? They would listen to anybody else but us, okay? That's the real, that's the whole thing here, okay? Brett is a nice guy. He's great. But I literally one time told Shelby one thing with her swing. I got into the cart with Brett and I said, listen, she's never going to listen to me. Please go tell her.
Oh.
And then she did. And then now I hear this crap. Like, oh, my God. Anybody else, they're just not going to listen to their husband. I know that for a fact. So I do have to agree with them, though, with the 12 holes. I don't know how you feel about it, but 12 holes would be pretty sick because, like, 9's not enough. 18's never too much for us. But if we're going to be playing with the girls and they want to play 12, I could get down with that more than 9.
I love the 12 holes, but not as much as I love the one hammy coaching tip of keep your head down. That is the fun. Like, when Carly said that, I was crying laughing because
do as I say, not as I do.
yes. And it is just like the most cliche, like I could see her like not hitting, just every time him just looking over, keep your head down.
He said it. I keep my head down. I'm still not hitting the ball.
Yes. Amazing. All right, on to the next one.
Let's get back on track here.
Yeah, had a little snafu.
That's what you get when you have kids running around while you're recording.
I know. Lucky. Ronnie doesn't have to deal with that.
Lucky boy. You're welcome, Ronnie. He love you.
A nice wife to watch his kids while he records his sodes.
Yep.
So let's talk about the Lefties Lounge a little bit. Do you listen to
I do. I actually love listening to it. However, I can't say that I've listened to all of them.
Okay.
Or even half. I wish I could. But my problem is I do not have the time to myself.
Mm-mm.
My two times are driving, which half the time I don't have to myself. The kids are in the car. And Thomas wants to hear something else other than his father.
Dad talk.
Yeah. And my only other time is before bed.
Right.
And I will always try to throw it on, put it next to my pillow, and I'll listen, and then Ronnie will catch me asleep to his episodes, which is super funny, not funny to him, but it's not because they're boring or that I don't care, I'm just tired, but I do love them a ton.
Well, at least, like, you can tell him that his voice is just, like, so soothing.
Yes, it's like I have him right in bed next to me.
Just whispering sweet nothings into your ears, and, like, for some reason, graphics there, but, like, besides the 7 points.
That's so funny.
Yeah, no, but from where he started, like, as far as, like, recording goes to where he is now.
Yes.
We have.
That's Alex.
Yeah, we have another guest host with us right now. But, so I remember listening to the first episode and hearing turn signals in the background,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Because he started his recording just him in his car.
Yeah, I literally remember the day that he was like, I think I'm going to just talk about golf. And record myself. Like, all right.
Okay.
I mean, doesn't surprise me.
No, I mean,
he loves golf.
Would you rather him just talk to you or, like?
It's true.
Yes.
It's true. Or put it to the people who love golf too.
Who love to listen to it.
Uh-huh.
And his following has just, like, grown exponentially.
I know.
So not only is it just him now, but he picked up Krafik, which I think is, like, such a great addition to the podcast.
Another lefty who loves golf just as
much. I think that's so funny that
I know.
He was able to find someone who wanted to do a podcast.
Yeah.
Who was also a lefty.
Yeah. Like, who could talk about golf for hours and hours upon end.
Right? It's the perfect match for him.
I know. I think one of my favorite things, too, is seeing
all the
endorsements,
like, yeah, and partnerships that they've been doing with a bunch of people and the products, and so I love it.
Do you get any freebies?
I love the gear. I can't say that I've gotten anything, which is kind of crazy because I do take the pictures. I'm just saying, hon.
You do,
I love all of it. I love a bunch of stuff. The hats.
I know.
Happened 3-Putt, loved their stuff. Yes. The new putters that came in.
Yeah.
Loved them. Or the putter covers.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Even Brian, he came home. They went to, they went golfing. And he came home with so much effing 3-Putt.
Yeah.
Oh, I even, because we are expecting in February, yeah. I have an effing 3-Putt onesie.
So
which
cute.
Was kind of like a little dig. Oh, no, it says my dad effing 3-Putt. So it was a little bit of a dig, but it's so cute.
That is adorable.
I think that's awesome that they are making friends in the golf and podcast community.
I know.
They're doing well, especially because this started, the whole podcast started as what was supposed to be a once a year, like, episode.
Right.
That was his plan.
With no intentions to grow. He just wanted to talk about golf because he wanted to talk about golf.
Yes.
And then now here we are.
Ladies, as a sister podcast, do not ever mention that you don't listen to the podcast, okay? I don't care what you guys do. Go in there. Don't listen to it. Just get the clicks. Get the plays in there. Write a review, okay? Because you'll see once you start getting going that you're going to need them. And as far as merch, we'll get you guys some merch, okay? This is your first going. We'll see how everyone responds to your podcast.
It started as
you're right
the Connecticut Masters podcast.
You're right.
So he just wanted to start by talking about his weekend with his friends. So it started just Ronnie, Brian, Brett Thompson, and Dave Lyon.
Yes.
Right. So that's how it started. The board, if you will.
Yes. And then whoever won, they would get this green jacket.
But they all had to, none of them are the same size. So they all had to go and find their own green jacket.
Yeah, the winner would find their own.
Yes.
And I mean, these things would come from Goodwill.
Yes. Cool. It's hard to find a green jacket to begin with, let alone one in every shape and size.
And now we got a plaque on the wall.
Yes.
Masters Tournament Championship.
Yes.
And
just says Brett Thompson.
Yes, it does. With Ron Newkirk as the first,
Yes, but
it's going to be interesting to see who wins here.
I know. It seems pretty close right now.
I know. I can't wait to see them.
I know. It's going to be very exciting. So now we have the green jackets that have, like, the
patch
on them.
Yep.
We have the plaque in Ronnie and Shelby's basement up on the wall in the lefties lounge corner.
Yeah.
And they have a trophy this year too. Oh, I think they started last year with the trophy. Maybe the year before. Yeah. So Dave Lyon made a trophy.
Yes.
Which is like so fun. And whoever wins gets to take it home for the year.
Yep.
And it's like their pride and joy.
It's,
I'm sure if Ryan won, it would go on my mantle.
It would. Right next to the TV.
Yeah, right. It's like, here's our beautiful wedding photo.
Yes.
And the Connecticut Masters trophy is going right in front.
I mean, let's be for real. They live to play for this tournament. They count down the days of the year like it's Christmas.
Yes. And I think maybe a week and a half ago, I realized that the Masters are being played on our wedding anniversary weekend. So I asked Brian, I'm like, when are you doing the Masters tournament? And he's like, oh, like next weekend. I was like, oh, thanks for letting me know. And then I realized that we're supposed to be at a wedding today. So I'm like, you are so lucky.
Which ties right into what we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
They will pick golf over everything.
Everything. Do not have a wedding on a Sunday.
Yes.
Okay?
Because we're not showing up.
No. If we, I mean,
we'll be solo.
We'll be solo. Yes.
Oh
but,
my gosh.
So fun. But they, like, you're right. They count down the days.
They do.
And it was, for the first 4 years, it was just the four.
I know.
And this
now
year,
it's grown.
They have added a whole
new
team.
I know.
Yes.
It's going to be fun. I can't wait to see them.
I'm so excited. So after, it's usually played on Masters weekend.
Yes.
So afterwards, they come home.
Yeah.
Well, home. They come to Ronnie and Shelby. Everyone comes to Ronnie and Shelby's.
The Lefties Lounge.
The Lefties Lounge, if you will.
Yes. They come right to the Lefties Lounge.
Yes.
And watch the rest of the Masters.
Yes.
Which is so fun.
It's so fun. And the wives get together and pretty much talk about exactly what we have been talking about this entire podcast.
All our commonalities
of
being a wife of a golfer.
Exactly. And it's just fun. And
it is.
I never watched golf before. I mean, we were talking about this before. But, like, watching the Masters with all of them is so much fun.
It is. Because they enjoy it so much and it makes you enjoy it and it's just exciting.
It's so exciting.
I know.
And every once in a while you get to see a little friendly.
A little extra.
Yeah. So we, like, for the life of us, cannot remember which golfer this was. But
it was pointed out.
Yes.
I want to say Jess Lyon. Yes. Gave a little tip.
Yeah. If you will.
Yeah. And it appeared that one of the golfers had an extra putter.
Yeah, an extra putter in his pocket. And it's just, it's all in good fun because golf is all about etiquette. Yes. So when you see something that's a little bit, like, out of line, what? It's just like, oh.
Okay.
Okay. But I think that's also the way that golf is, like, just going.
I know.
And like, general. Like, it's a younger crowd now that you
it
see.
It is,
and
actually.
I feel like COVID has made, like, golfing so much more, like, I just feel like everyone's golfing now.
Which means there will be a lot more of us around.
I know, some more listeners for us.
Golf widows, the better halves.
The better halves, if you will.
So it's been fun.
Yes.
This is fun. I can see why they enjoy doing this every week.
I know, but this might only be a yearly.
Yes, or one time.
One time only. You never know.
It might depend on the demand of the fans.
Demand of our fans, and I'm sure there will be many.
I know. Well, I'm sure this was super relatable.
I know. I hope you guys enjoyed it. The Ladies Tea Time, presented by, brought to you by...
Lefty's Lounge.
The Lefty's Lounge. All right, everybody.
Till next time.
Bye-bye.
So, Carly, you said it perfectly. Don't have weddings on a Sunday, okay? They're in the Masters, especially. Shout out to Hammy for putting golf over anything. They were actually supposed to be at a wedding that weekend. He didn't even know about it, but he was playing the Masters no matter what. And like Carly said, their wedding anniversary is on the PGA Masters. And we're going to be watching it together. also shout out to Charlie Longdong. I thought this was the funniest part of the whole thing. It just proves that the wives will watch with us, but they're watching something different than us. That's for sure.
The putters. They're huge, big putter fans.
Yeah, big third putter fans, or whatever they call it.
The tip.
I don't know. I hope everyone enjoyed that as much as we did. It was such a surprise, and I love you two for doing that. Hopefully we can get more of the wives and girlfriends to come and do that, and I think all the wives can relate to that. So shout out to those guys, and they put it together well, I thought. What did you think?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I cannot, like, for the first time that they ever done that, the cohesion was, like, so seamless. Like, Carly would help out when Shelby would struggle a little bit, and then, you know, Shelby would help out when they, like, kind of lost a train of thought or something.
That was with two kids running around, too. They killed it.
So good. So good. It was great to hear from their perspective. I know all the ladies out there are going to love to hear it.
Absolutely. So that concludes a long-winded Masters recap and the first ever Ladies Tea Time. Love the name. They do have a logo that we're going to sharpen up a little bit, but huge thank you to everybody that participated. We had a great weekend. Again, this tournament means a ton to me, so seeing everybody have fun and just have a great time it's what it's all about, and the podcast was awesome, and just having Norm come and got to give a shout out to Telemundo Caesar too at the end here.
Yes.
Sold it on Sunday. We're going to have a great video coming out for you guys too. Frankie's working on it. We're going to probably drop it Masters week, just to give time to really perfect it and make it really, really good. I know Frankie's going to do a great job. Deuce Productions is going to be a real thing. But yeah, thank you to everyone, and a last congratulations to you, my man. It was a great weekend.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, April's gonna come pretty quick this year, so no time to rest. Let's get it going for the winter.
Enjoy your time, man, because some of us are gonna be working real hard. I can tell you that.
Let's go.